Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's 5:30 Central Standard Time on Friday, and that means it's time for Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one of them tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So Dan and I were just going over the events of our FanDuel lineups from yesterday, and I managed just I guess the more I look at it, 106 points isn't terrible, considering I had three guys put up zeros. So, I guess it could have or probably should have been a lot worse for me, but I guess I can thank Will Myers for having a good night, and I know Giancarlo Stanton did fairly well also, so we'll take it from there. Even my Clayton Kershaw lineup didn't money. I missed by about 20 points there. I got 129.8 with him, and he went for 67 points on his own. So, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, we move on, and, you know, I put today's lineup together already. I attempted to do a little more research than normal because I was disappointed in my last couple performances. So here's what I came up with tonight. I'm going to spend money on pitcher again because they seem to be worth it. It's Jacob DeGrom for $12,100 against the Phillies tonight. If he can stay in the game, you know, he is a Met pitcher, so you never know. He could get injured. I'm hoping for double-digit strikeouts and a big win out of him. Obviously, you spend money on that. You want to get guys, cheaper guys who are in good positions to hit. So I'm going with, is the new Cubs catcher first name Victor, Dan? Is that what it is? Is it Victor Caratini?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went with him for $2,000. He's hitting sixth for the Cubs tonight. I figure they're in Cincinnati, so it's a good opportunity to possibly use a couple Cubs. First base, I went with Edwin Encarnacion for $3,600. He's hitting cleanup for the Indians tonight. Second base, I went with another Cub. I'm going with Javier Baez, who was $2,500. He's hitting seventh for the Cubs tonight. Third base, I've got Alex Bregman of the Astros. He's $2,900. He's hitting ninth for them tonight. Shortstop, I've got Chris Owings of the Diamondbacks. He cost me $3,200. And he is hitting fifth for the Diamondbacks tonight. My outfield started out with Josh Reddick of the Houston Astros. He's $3,400. He's hitting second for them tonight. Then I went with Bradley Zimmer of the Cleveland Indians. He cost me $2,800. He's hitting eighth for the Indians tonight. And then I went back to Arizona. I'm going with Gregor Blanco, who only cost me $2,500. And he is leading off for the Diamondbacks, so hopefully he'll get something going in that those extra bats or two he may pick up. So, all right, the recap. I got DeGrom pitching, Caratini catching, Encarnacion at first, Baez at second, Bregman at third, Owings at short, and the outfield is Reddick, Zimmer, and Blanco. So there you go. That, of course, is for the 605 Main League, which gives you just about 30 minutes to get your lineup ready. So there you go. What is you didn't send me your lineup. What's your lineup look like tonight?
No, I didn't do one yet, so I don't know if I'm going to.
So, you know, you could go out and spend a lot of money on Alex Wood. he's the other high price pitcher for the evening if you wanted to do something like that. But yeah, hopefully, you know, I'll have a little better night. You know, maybe I'll do an Alex Wood lineup for one of the later leagues and see what I can come up with. You know, I had good luck there over the weekend, last weekend, so maybe I'll land it again there, and that'll be a positive for me. That would be it would be nice to end the week on an uptick, and you know, sadly my WNBA freebie didn't do any better from the other day either. I think I only managed like 155 points. I had been doing better. I was getting close to 200 with them, but yeah, this one just didn't work out. So, and actually, yeah, oddly, it was from yesterday. For some reason, I thought it was 2 days ago.
I did much better. I hit 166, which put me 2,347 out of 38,500 people.
Yeah, I ended up, this one I was 4,350th out of a little over 38,000 people. So, I mean, I guess, you know, if you want to look on the bright side, I'm at least in the, you know, the upper half. It's just not, you know, anywhere close to winning. I mean, like, you needed 208 points to win, and, you know, I'm just not any, you know, no matter, it seems no matter what I do with, you know, the league, it just doesn't work. You know, when I pick a player, a high-priced player, they don't perform. So when I try to find a value player, well, then they don't perform. So I just can't win. It's kind of like, great, what the heck do I do? So
I figure one of these days I'm going to land it on WNBA, and that'll get me rolling again.
Yeah.
And then I'll just lose it all.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the odd thing is, you know, you'll win something that you pretty much have absolutely no business winning. Cause I mean, I don't know squat about the WNBA, you know, I mean, I know a couple of the players' names and stuff, and you know, like I know the stars from seeing their names, but other than that, I mean, I couldn't tell you, I couldn't tell you thing one about, you know, the majority of the league, and you know that, yeah, that'll be the thing. It's like, oh great. Okay. Well, I won this one. You know, there you go. Yeah, but we, you know, we have a, you know, of course, you know, a wonderful, being the weekend, we have a full slate of games for the, you know, for baseball as always. And, I, you know, there were a couple things. Did you notice Mike Trout is taking BP? So I'm sure you're excited to have him back. And, you know, we had talked about it here. Apparently the Mets are the ones considering and bringing Bartolo back. So maybe he'll end up there.
Hey, and then he can retire after the season with the Mets.
Yeah, you know, hey, might as well, right? So, you know, that's kind of what he should do. You know, it was, that's kind of where he became the cult hero or folk hero or however you want to look at it. So, you know, might as well. I did find it odd, and I had no clue about this, but I caught a headline today that said the Red Sox were releasing Alan Craig. Dan, I got to tell you, I didn't realize Alan Craig was still with the team. You know, I remember he had a pretty decent run with St. Louis, had some success in, I think, their World Series, you know, made an all-star team, got some MVP votes a couple years for them. They shipped him to Boston, and looking at his player card here, he hit .128 in 29 games his first year there, and .152 in 36 games in 2015. So, yeah, I had no clue they were still hanging on to him. I guess he's just been playing at AAA the last couple seasons.
I was trying to pull it. His lifetime WAR is 5.0.
Yeah, hey, look at that. So, but, yeah, you know, you just kind of wonder, you know, what happened to a guy? I mean, you know, he's a 300 hitter in St. Louis. He gets shipped over to Boston, and it all falls apart.
Well, yeah, you're right. It looks like he hasn't played since 2015 in the majors.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to pull up his minor league card here and see how he had been if or how he had been doing there, because I was, you know, I was a little surprised. Yeah, like I said, I didn't even realize that the Red Sox had hung on to him. I thought they'd given up on him, you know, quite a while ago. So, but yeah, I just, you know, now that Baseball Reference changed their site, my internet just doesn't want to cooperate with it as easily as before. So.
Well, you know, I was going all over looking for average, and they made the new VA instead of AFG. AVG. I know.
Yeah.
I was all over going. But that was being average, but I guess it makes sense for the new age, VA, even though for the last 30-plus years it's been AVG on every baseball card and newspaper and MLB's website.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's the, you know, the new wave thing or whatever. You know, I'm sure it's sabermetrically related, because they don't really care about batting average so much anymore. So
it's getting buried now.
Yeah, you know, it's another one of those stats that has become unimportant. You know, like, remember that was part of the problem with Jose Altuve, was the fact that he just won a batting title. So, you know, that was it. But, yeah, sadly, it doesn't look like Alan Craig hit any better in the minors. I'm guessing he was hurt in 2016, because it looked like he only played in 29 games. But he only hit .189. And then he was only hitting .253 in 47 games at Pawtucket this year. So it just went away. You know, I don't know how else you describe it. You know, he went from, you know, again, a guy who was an all-star. And, you know, and you know, now it was a long-shot MVP contender, but he was finishing in top 20 in votes. And, yeah, he just kind of, that was it. So. But yeah, I didn't want to get stuck on Alan Craig there too long. I just had, you know, computer issues. It was just one of those weird, you know, weird things that go on. But, you know, what do we have? What's the best series this weekend that we're looking at, Dan? I was trying to figure out here. You got anything you're high on? I mean, you like Cleveland and Detroit?
I keep going.
Yeah, I'm looking. Well, you know, I guess we got Colorado at Arizona. John Gray is back for the Rockies tonight. That's a big thing for them. You know, they've dropped quite a few games, but yeah. Well, you know, maybe you like the Yankees at Houston better, or you like Colorado at Arizona?
I mean, those two are definitely up there. You got Houston with the best record in baseball. Colorado right up there, too, in Arizona. The playoff implications.
Yeah, well, you know, Colorado's really been struggling. You know, they ran into the Dodgers, and that really started them down the wrong path. You know, there are some, you know, really good pitching matchups tonight. You know, it's Minnesota, Kansas City. It's Irvin Santana against Jason Vargas. So, you know, that's a really good one. We have Johnny Cueto against Garrett Cole. San Francisco is in Pittsburgh. You know, I know San Francisco has its offensive struggles, and Cole has been really, really good in his last three starts. So, you know, we at least got that going on. But yeah, you know, your guy Robbie Ray's pitching for the Diamondbacks. He was your guy, what, a couple years ago, and now he's a big star and everybody wants him? So,
yep.
Yeah, you know, yeah, other than that, I mean, just kind of looking at the matchups, I mean, you know, Tampa Bay's at Baltimore. Okay, if Baltimore wasn't struggling so bad, maybe. I know Jacob Farias pitching for the Rays. He's trying to become the first pitcher in Rays history to start a career with five consecutive quality starts. So you got something to look for there. I mentioned San Francisco at Pittsburgh. We got Boston at Toronto. It's Doug Fister against Marco Estrada. Do you like that?
It's not bad, but Toronto's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, well, I think Fister's making his second start for the Red Sox. So, you know, I mentioned Cleveland at Detroit. It's Josh Tomlin against Anibal Sanchez. You know, last time I actually bet against Sanchez in FanDuel, he pitched really well. So I'll have to see if those two Indians do anything for me tonight in my lineup. And Tomlin, you know, he was a bust for me last time I used him. So that may be an offensive game. The Cubs are in Cincinnati. It's Mike Montgomery against former Cub Scott Feldman. You know, I mean, I know you like that one just because you're a Cub fan. You know, the Phillies at the Mets. Ben Lively is the pitcher going for the Phillies. He'll be the one facing Jacob DeGrom. Texas is here in Chicago to take on the White Sox. Texas is throwing a guy named Austin Bibbins Dirks, and the Sox are countering with Mike Pelfrey. Miami at Milwaukee, we get Edison Volquez going against another former Cub great there, Dan. It's Matt Garza tonight. So there you go, pitching matchup of your dreams. So then, you know, I mentioned the Yankees in Houston. The starters there are Michael Pineda and Lance McCullers Jr. Washington and St. Louis has Tanner Roark and Mike Leake. The Braves are at the A's with Mike Fultonewicz and Sonny Gray. I mean, I guess if you're interested in watching Sonny Gray, you know, if a team's going to acquire him. Seattle is at the Angels. It's Ariel Miranda against Parker Bidwell. And then the Dodgers at the Padres. Alex Wood against Clayton Richard. So, you know, yeah, you know, just not a lot of really, you know, like grabbing type series or games this weekend. You know, like I'll like obviously San Francisco at Pittsburgh tonight because I want to see Cueto and Cole pitch. So I'll probably, you know, load that up on the tablet, you know, doing everything else. But yeah, you know, just kind of jumping around. I mean, yeah, I think I'd be more interested in the Yankees at Houston. The Yankees hadn't been playing so bad lately. You know, I mean, they split a series with the White Sox, for God's sake. No, I'm just kind of kidding there. But, you know, they have had their struggles. You know, Santana against Vargas is a good matchup, but otherwise, I don't know. You know, I know the Twins have been good, but they really haven't grabbed my interest. I think I just kind of keep waiting for them to fade. You know, and I'll be interested to see how John Gray does for the Rockies because, you know, he's coming back from injury. I'm not even sure. This may be his first start of the season. I'm trying to remember if he pitched before he got hurt. But, you know, Colorado's dropped 8 in a row. So they, you know, they need something out of him. They're kind of slipping. You know, the Dodgers have been playing so well. Colorado's fallen 6 games out of first place. So, oddly, they still have the second wild card by a decent margin in the National League, but that's another story there. It's a little too early to jump up and down about that. So, but, yeah, I mean, it just kind of, I don't know. I guess just one of those nights.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, I'd watch the Cubs game because my parents are actually there sitting in our field.
Oh, yeah. So, well, that was, you know, that's nice of them. They didn't take you?
I know, right? That's what I said.
So, you know, and then you know, I'm sure you saw because you were probably watching the game, but, you know, Trey Turner went on a 10-day DL. It's looking like it's going to be a long-term injury. I thought I heard somebody say today 2 to 4 months. So, you know, it's going to be a, you know, obviously I don't think it'll cost Washington much in the division with the lead they have and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but you know, he's still a, you know, cool player to watch. And, you know, all that. I was I was looking, Dan. They released the roster for the Futures game, and I'm a little disappointed here. I don't see Tim Tebow on the U.S. team. So.
He's in the minor league, so why would he be?
Well, that's the future roster. That's all it is. It's all minor leaguers, you know. So, you know, there's even a couple Class A guys on here. That's why I was looking for them. So, you know, the White Sox have some representations. You know, Michael Kopech, one of the guys they got from the Nationals, is on the U.S. team. Zach Collins, their Class A catcher, made the team. And then, of course, Yoan Moncada, who I believe was the MVP of this game last year, is on the world team. The only Cub on it is Eloy Jimenez.
Is he back yet? Because he's been injured.
Yeah, you know, they have him listed. They don't say anything, you know, about injuries or anything. I mean, there are some other, you know, fun names. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is on the team. The Washington, you know, Washington's top prospect, Victor Robles, is on here. So, you know, there are some, you know, some names that I recognize from, you know, kind of going, you know, going through things. You know, I know Brendan Rodgers made the American team. He's apparently supposed to be a top shortstop when he finally gets to the majors. He's in Double A right now, so he's not too far away. So it'd be interesting to see what Colorado does with him, because obviously they have a pretty decent shortstop. But yeah, you know, I always try to watch this game, Dan, and I'll get through an inning or two, and then it's like, it's just guys that I don't know enough about, and I end up turning it off. Have you made it through one? Well, this is the U.S. Futures versus the World for the All-Star game.
I think so. I watched the Futures game. Oh, yeah, I watched part of it at work. Watched it last year when Eloy Jimenez was the MVP.
I thought Moncada was the MVP of the Futures All-Star game. So, you know. All right, here you go, Dan. I happen to be on the Mickey Mouse website looking at that roster, and they have a poll here. If you had to win one game, who would you pick to start? Now, I'll give you the names before you make your choice here. You can go with Dallas Keuchel, Corey Kluber, Carlos Martinez, Max Scherzer, Chris Sale, John Lester, Clayton Kershaw, or Madison Bumgarner.
Clayton Kershaw.
So, you know, and who's your, if you had to make a second choice, who would you go with?
Baumgartner.
So yeah, you don't like Scherzer with all he's kind of done.
Yeah, but I like those two guys, so that's why I went with them.
Yeah, well, you know, you're supposed to pick the guys you think could win you a game if you needed to win a game. So.
Well, they would.
Well, I don't know. You know, Kershaw hasn't had a ton of playoff success. You know, Bumgarner, I can see, you know, he's ran out there in, you know, Game 7 of the World Series and stuff. But, you know, Kershaw has had his issues.
Well, who would you pick? Scherzer and...
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Bumgarner has the history, you know, so it's hard to go away from him. You know, and I mean, in reality, there's really not a bad choice on the list. I don't know... You know, I think there's guys who need to prove stuff, you know, like Carlos Martinez and Dallas Keuchel need to prove they can do it. But, you know, I mean, if people went with them, I mean, they're not terrible choices. So, you know, Sale again, you know, he's a guy who's never had an opportunity to, you know, to prove what kind of money pitcher he really will be. So, you know, maybe he'll get an opportunity this year if the Red Sox get into the playoffs. So... You know, it could be you know, so like I said, I mean, there's no real, you know, no real bad choice. I mean, obviously they're all really, you know, really quality starting pitchers. So yeah, but then, you know, locally here, Dan, I don't know if you saw this. I know, you know, sadly you have the wonderful job that ties you up, but the Bulls made some more news. You know, it was reported early in the day that they were shopping Rajon Rondo and they were going to attempt to trade him. But then it came out that instead they just waived him. They also waived Isaiah Kanaan, another backup guard. So I guess they just couldn't find enough. I mean, they're going to have to pay him $3 million to not play for them this year. But, you know, I just don't know. I guess they had a deadline to either waive him and pay him $3 million or keep him and pay him $13 million. So they went with the waiver option. Obviously, you know, this opens up point guard for Chris Dunn, who they just picked up. So,
well, you know, I mean, he gets $3 million and he'll get signed by another team.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure there's somebody out there who's willing to take a chance on him. So, you know, in other point guard news, I guess you would say, I did, now it's unconfirmed, but apparently Minnesota finally found a new place for Ricky Rubio. Apparently he's going to Utah. So I don't know if that's good or bad for either. You know, it's obviously good for Utah. They're getting a quality point guard, but I don't know. They were a playoff team, but they're losing Gordon Hayward, who's their best player in free agency. So, do you have any idea, you know, just what you've seen or heard or read or anything? What was the issue with him in Minnesota? I mean, obviously, I thought he played pretty well last year for them. And is he just not a Tibbs guy or what's?
Well, you know, that's the only thing that sucks. And, you know, if we had more money, we'd definitely get the NBA package. But I think that's what it comes down to, is that he wasn't a Tibbs guy. And, you know, I was going to make the joke that he'll be great for Utah when he can play, when he's not injured.
Yeah, you know, he does obviously have the injury history. You know, he played in 75 games last year, 11.1 points, so not bad, but he did have about 9.1 assists, and he also averaged 1.7 steals per game. So, you know, as far as a point guard goes, I mean, those are, you know, pretty good numbers, and obviously on, you know, Minnesota, he didn't need to score. You know, they had Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, and then even Zach LaVine kind of found his groove there before he got injured. So, you know, scoring didn't have to be a top thing. And I know he's, you know, Rubio has always been a poor shooter. You know, he's never had a great touch, but you know, you're running the point. I mean, if you're handing out, you know, the ball, you should be okay there, hopefully. But yeah, you know, like his career scoring average is only 10.3.
You know, it'll help Utah because, I mean, they need to try to get back. They haven't been back. Well, I mean, I'm, of course, being a little sarcastic, but, you know, I forgot about the Utah Jazz except for, you know, back in the day when Malone was on them. But I was going to – you've got to wonder if maybe kind of with the youth they've got going on in Minnesota, I hope it was just a rumor and someone just making stuff up that Tibbs was actually considering bringing Rose in. But, I mean, why not bring in Rondo? You've seen what he kind of helped with, did for the Bulls. He's definitely a guy, an older guy that likes to play with the young guys.
Yeah, I'm looking here. They're still just kind of reporting the trade. I don't see what – oh, it looks like Minnesota is just getting a – 2018 protected first round pick.
Oh, good for them. So that means they'll have two.
Yeah, well, it's top 14 protected, so if Utah's pick lands in the top 14 next year, they don't get it.
Oh.
So.
Well, maybe they'll do better with
so, yeah, that's...
But don't they have the Bulls pick for 18?
Well, who knows who's got whose pick. The way the NBA throws these draft picks around, I can't keep track of... You know who's picking for who, and then you know on draft night it's just as bad because you make a trade and you don't know who the hell is actually picking the player. So
yeah,
but yeah, he should slide in right at point guard because I believe George Hill is a free agent. So
well, and that's your guy, so you'll have a new team to root for.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just kind of looking at their roster, and of course, I don't know, you know, I probably should pull up the roster instead of the depth chart, because that'll tell me more of who's actually still here. Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I know they had four draft picks. I don't know if all of them make the roster, or, you know, how they work that out. You'll have to see. But yeah, there's not a, you know, obviously Rudy Gobert is still there. He's going to be a big commodity, but losing Gordon Hayward is going to hurt. You know, George Hill probably leaving as well. You know, that's going to hurt. So yeah, it's going to be a little different looking Jazz team. I don't know if they're going back to the playoffs, I guess would be the best way to look at it. So, you know, we'll have to see, but you know, there's a lot of, you know, NBA free agency starts tomorrow, Dan. It becomes official. So we'll have to see who gets locked up right away and who ends up kind of hanging around. But, and you mentioned you weren't sure about that. That is actually a rumor out there that they want, Tibbs wants to bring Derrick Rose in.
Well, I mean, don't know what the relationship like was between those two. Because Tibbs never really talked about it. And you know, with the dysfunction in, from the front office, you never know if Rose was just unhappy because of Scar. Because he seemed to say all the right things when he was in New York.
Yeah. you know, I know this is something you were really concerned about here, Dan. So, there's this blurb here. It says the Milwaukee Bucks are optimistic about coming to terms on a new deal with restricted free agent guard Tony Snell.
Hey, it'll work out.
The Bucks plan to be more. Yeah, the Bucks plan to be more aggressive on coming to terms when free agency begins. So there you go, Dan. It looks like he'll be back in. Back in Milwaukee, so when you go up there to see the Bucks play, he'll be there.
I don't know. I think their ticket prices will shoot up when they get the new stadium next year.
Yeah, well, you know, they got to pay for it. So, you know, that's always the, you know, the thing about it. Once you, you know, you get those things, you got to find ways to pay for it. So, we'll have to see. Oh, okay. I did not know this part about it, but the Bulls are apparently planning to sign, all right, Dan, I always get these wonderful names, Miloš Teodosic. As a Rajon Rondo replacement, he's 6'5", averaged 14.2 points, 6.7 assists, and 2.3 rebounds per game with CSKA Moscow last year.
He wasn't available in the draft?
No, apparently not. Yeah, apparently, oddly enough, we were just talking about the team. The Jazz are also in the market to land Todosic. I'm guessing that's how his name is pronounced. The big key will be if they can get George Hill to re-sign. If they bring Hill back, they probably wouldn't sign this Milos guy. But if they lose Hill, he would be a guy they would prioritize. And Quinn Snyder actually coached in that league, so he has a relationship with this guy. So if the Bulls are going to go, they better go quick. He's also been linked to the Sacramento Kings and the Brooklyn Nets. He's looking for a 3-year deal on average of about $10 million. And that's available
And
for the
what
Bulls now
position?
that they've waived. What?
What position?
Oddly, they don't. It looks like they're saying he's a point guard. So, but at 6'5", he's a bigger point guard.
Because they already have
But
like a
yeah, the Bulls
seven-foot
have.
power forward that shoots threes they drafted.
Yeah, but everybody has that now. That ever since Kevin Durant, that's what everybody wants. You want a 7-foot forward that shoots threes. So, that's how the NBA goes now.
Yeah, but is it me
If
or
you can't shoot the three.
does he really look like a 7-footer to you?
No, he never has, but obviously, he is. I mean, they've measured him and everything, and it's just one of those, one of those things. So it's not like, people are making it up, but yeah, it's kind of humorous that, you don't think of him as that when you see him, but I guess when players kind of transcend like that, because if you think about it, I mean, did you ever really notice that Magic Johnson was 6'9"?
No.
I think, when you're just that talented, you kind of you people kind of forget that, you're really, physically, gifted as well as, not only being talented. So yeah, I mean, he can do things that, other guys that size we really haven't seen. There have been other obviously 7-footers that shot the three. I mean, Channing Frye's been doing it for years, but he's not as good as Durant, so there's just nothing there. But yeah, he'll be a free agent. Obviously, he's just going to turn around and sign with Golden State, but technically he's a free agent.
No, he's coming to
And I don't
Chicago.
think the Bulls are going to, yeah, say, I don't think the Bulls are going to be able to land him though, Dan. So, I know it does look, the player, the Warriors look like they're going to lose is Andre Iguodala. He's actually got a meeting scheduled for with the Spurs at midnight because technically free agent starts at 12:01. So he's going to meet with the Spurs right off the bat. I'm trying to figure this out, Dan. I know when they won their first title, what is it, 3 years ago now, he was the MVP. Obviously he's a six man on the team, but I can't really decide if he's gonna be a big loss for them. I mean, do you see that being as a major loss for Golden State at this point, or with everything they've got kind of stacked up there, they can kind of let a guy like that go?
I think so. I mean, he kind of seemed like he was in the shadows more this, maybe not so much the season, but in the playoffs.
Yeah, he wasn't really that kind of factor in this playoffs like he was the first time they won. And I'm just wondering if maybe it was because of a guy like Kevin Durant, they just didn't really need Iguodala. So
Hey, but he's got two rings. He has two rings with them, so I mean, now he's
yeah.
going to get paid, right?
Yeah, well, he's been, probably getting paid all along, because at one point he was the star of the 76ers before they tanked and decided to trust the process. He was the best player on that team for a long time. But I did hear another rumor. I heard that your guy J.J. Redick is really interested in signing with the Houston Rockets. That team seems kind of like right up his alley, doesn't it? I mean, all they do is shoot threes. That's kind of his game. You like that for your guy?
I think it'd be a good landing spot for him. Now they just need at least one guy who can play D.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Well, you know, you gotta, right? I mean, you gotta think, if you're a guy who likes to shoot the basketball, isn't Houston like almost number one on your list of where you would like to go play? You know, because that kind of seems like that's all they're interested in.
Essentially, you can end up with four guys just spread around the top of the arc and just pass it around. You just need a 7'8" guy down in the center. But he'd probably be a three-point shooter, too.
Yeah, because I believe they picked up Ryan Anderson from the Pelicans, and he likes to shoot the three. You know, he's a 6'10" forward who likes to shoot the three. You know, they added, obviously, Chris Paul, I guess, is going to be the guy who hands out, you know, all the assists here. I know Paul can shoot the three, but he's not a huge three-point guy. You know, obviously, we know James Harden can do it, and they still have Eric Gordon, who was fantastic for him last year. You know, they lost a couple of their guys who shoot the three, but, you know, I'm sure guys are lining up to get there to sign up and, you know, see how many threes they can shoot, aren't they?
That'll be the three-point contest for the All-Star game. Will just be Rockets.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just all Houston guys. Hey, you guys, we need guys to shoot threes. Who's there? Okay, I'm here. Who do you play for? The Rockets. I'm a Rocket. Yeah, I play for the Rockets. So.
Now, and I know you may not know this, and because of the lack of Clippers games we've seen, is Chris Paul the kind of guy, though, that's going to run up and dish it out? I don't know if that was part of his game.
Yeah, you know, he's always been kind of that combo guard. You know, he hands out his share fair of assists, but, you know, he can score when needed. You know, last year he did average, I pulled up his stats here for us. He was the Clippers' leading scorer at 25.3 points, and that's not what I'm looking for. I need the regular season. That was in the playoffs he was their leading scorer. Let me get the regular season stats here, and we'll see how Paul did. So he was actually their second leading scorer. He had averaged 18.1 points per game and 9.2 assists. So, you know, not too bad. He also had 1.95 steals. So he averages grabbing 5 rebounds a game, which isn't too bad for a point guard. You know, but obviously he had his injury issues. He only played in 61 games. So, yeah, and you know, your guy J.J. Redick averaged 15 points a game for them and, you know, averaged taking 6 three-pointers a game. So,
he just fit in pretty good down there.
Yeah, you know, it's so weird. And obviously, I mean, he's not signed there yet or anything. It was just a rumor. But, yeah, it just seemed, you know, when you start thinking about it, I mean, is there really a better fit? You know, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, this is almost too perfect. You know, I mean, you're looking to plug a guy in and, you know, this is kind of where he goes and the team that works for him, and, you know, here you go. So
with all the bigger signings, you know, do you think the team that makes their second team, you know, off the bench guys, do you think that's going to be a bigger deal this offseason?
Yeah, it's so tough to say, because even, you know, with that, you know, is there anybody who's gonna challenge, you know, the Warriors or, you know, Cleveland again? I mean, it's possible.
Well, I mean, the East, I think, is a wash. They don't even need to play games this year. Just let Cleveland take it. Unless Boston does something very dramatic in Washington. I mean, those are the only two teams that might give a challenge. But I think in the West, you know, depending on what the Spurs do, and I think Houston's opened it up a little bit more. Although, depending on Durant's deal, I think for Golden State, it would be fitting to just win one more.
Yeah, I think it could really factor in the East. You know, if you're a team like, you know, you mentioned Boston and then there's Washington, if they could find the right combination coming off their bench, it could really factor in. You know, I was a little disappointed in Washington's playoff performance last year. I really wanted to see them play the Cavaliers. That was the matchup I really wanted to see. You know, Boston is talking, you know, like they're convinced they're going to get Gordon Hayward and they're trying to make a deal for Paul George. You know, obviously if they do something like that, that lengthens their bench. You know, and you wonder if, you know, they could put a unit together with, you know, Marcus Smart as like the second team guy who will play defense. And, you know, maybe they could really get after some guys and just try to wear them out. You know, it could be an interesting possibility. And, you know, Washington would need a little more help off the bench. But, of course, you know, it's finding those right guys who are, you know, kind of willing to do that stuff. And you know how it is in, you know, today's NBA. It's hard to find guys who want to play defense.
Yeah. Well, and wasn't that one of the biggest issues in the finals was Cleveland's bench just couldn't even keep up with Golden State?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's definitely Cleveland's weakness is their bench. But I see here a couple of your guys are free agents, Dan. Tim Hardaway Jr. is a free agent, and so is Jordan Hill.
Oh, wow. I forgot about Jordan Hill.
So, but yeah, you know, I mean, there are some, you know, interesting kind of, you want to call them lower tier, however you want to look at it, but, you know, Serge Ibaka's floating around out there in free agency. You know, he's a fantastic rebounder. He can block shots, and he's not afraid to play defense. You know, you wonder if a team could, you know, add him, and I don't know if he fits into Washington plan, maybe not Boston's plans, but maybe like Washington, he could really, you know, kind of fit in there and help a team like that out. You know, you just wonder, like, I don't know how much cap money they have or how much he would be looking for, of course. So. But yeah, you know, again, it's just one of those fun things that you have to, you know, have to kind of figure out when you're putting your bench together. I mean, there's obviously, you know, there's a lot of talented names out here in free agency. It's just, do they fit your plan? You know, how does it all work out? You know, and will they, you know, do kind of the stuff that's needed to, you know, fit in?
Now, just an off-the-wall prediction, just for you, do you think you're going to wake up and your blog's going to be all NBA tomorrow? Or do you think it'll just start and we won't really see too much tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I don't think we'll see a ton. I mean, obviously, I think the big one is, the big two, we're going to see Kevin Durant and Steph Curry re-sign with the Warriors. You know, because technically they're both free agents. But, I think those will probably be announced right away. I'm sure they already have the deals worked out. It's just a matter of signing things when you can legally sign things. Other than that, I don't know too many other guys who are probably going to sign right away. You know, I know, like, Gordon Hayward's meeting with the Heat tomorrow, and he hasn't talked to Boston yet. So he's got to meet with Boston. You know, we mentioned Iguodala has his first meeting with the Spurs. You know I saw there's a couple other guys who are going around and meeting with teams. So I don't think we'll have a ton of movement right away at midnight. You know, I know sometimes midnight hits and you get like 10 signings. I don't think we're going to get that this time, but, you know, hey, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, like I
you
said,
know, it would be
more
interesting.
Or less a prediction for you.
I mean, you know, it'd make the blog a lot easier to write. So, you know, that could work out for me. I could get, you know, get through it quicker and, you know, make my life a lot easier. So,
yeah. Well, it'd be pretty busy.
Yes. Well, you know, I did have that one. I ended up with one really long one on just about baseball the other week. I don't know how the hell that happened. I don't know how many people are reading it, but you know, if you checked it out, I actually liked it. So that was weird. But I wanted to ask you here, Dan, there's actually I guess you could call it a big fight on the Mickey Mouse Network tonight featuring Manny Pacquiao. You know, he's fighting, I didn't know much about the guy, but he's fighting a guy named Jeff Horn, who I believe is undefeated. Let me see. I think he's like 16-0-1. You know, it's, you know, just that, you know, they have Friday night fights quite a bit. Yeah, he's 16-0-1 with 11 KOs. This is for like the WBO middleweight title. Will you check this out? It's an 8 o'clock start time here locally for Dan and I. It's out of Brisbane, Australia. I'm assuming Pacquiao and Horn are the main events. So there's, looks like they have one, two, looks like they have three fights before. Shane Mosley Jr. is actually in one of the other fights. His father's, you know, was a longtime boxer. But, you know, are you surprised Pacquiao is still fighting, I guess? And does this interest you? Will you look at this?
Well, it's on, you know, cable television, so a lot better than having to pay pay-per-view fees.
Right.
I mean, it's an early start, but then again, you know, his fight won't go on until after 9 sometimes, so I might have to tune in.
Yeah, and now they're expecting, apparently, they're expecting 60,000 people to see this fight. So... you know, this is interesting. I did see a quote earlier in the week from Pacquiao's trainer, who is Freddie Roach. And he said Pacquiao wants a rematch with Floyd Mayweather. I don't know if, you know, that's going to happen or, you know, how that works out. Now, you know, Jeff Horn is actually from Australia. He's actually from Brisbane, as a matter of fact. So, you know, Pacquiao's going into, I guess, you know, unfriendly territory. But, yeah, Horn hasn't fought since December 10th of 2016. He beat Ali Faneca by TKO. So that was his last fight. You know, I know Pacquiao, I just saw his last fight. I'm drawing a blank. Let me hit the magical button here and see if I can get his last fight for us as well. I thought it was against Timothy Bradley because that name kind of stuck for some reason, but I'm not sure. No, it was actually against Jesse Vargas. That was November 5th of 2016. So, but yeah, Pacquiao is 59-6-2. With 38 knockout wins. But yeah, you know, after he lost to Mayweather, he kind of scuffled there. He is a, what is he now? What did I see? He's 30. There we go. He's 38 years old. I mean, you would think he's had plenty of money. I don't know. You know, maybe he just really wants that Mayweather rematch. You think he gets it if he wins?
Possibly.
So, yeah, because I, you know, I'm just not, you know, I mean, obviously Mayweather is technically retired. I mean, he has the sideshow thing with Conor McGregor going on. You know, we all know about that. But, I mean, I'm just not sure. Is there a lot of interest in Mayweather Pacquiao too? I mean, the first one was a huge letdown, wasn't it, for people who bought that pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah, but I think if Pacquiao can show that, you know, bring his popularity back in the eyes of the fans and whatever, and then, you know, maybe that can get the buy rates up.
Yeah, because, well, you know, last time, you know, they set records, obviously. You know, I mean, it was, you know, millions and millions of dollars, you know, people spent on that fight. And again, you know, I know there was a lot of disappointing fans when it was all said and done. But you know, I just don't know if I just don't know if there, if, you know, I mean, I know, I don't think I would have an interest in it. I mean, you know, I didn't buy it last time, but I did have an interest in, you know, who was going to win and how it was going to go, that kind of stuff. But, you know, this time I'm just, if they were to do it again, I don't think I would be really interested in it.
I don't know. Well, I mean, there always be some curiosity, but, you know, the $80 to $100 pay-per-view buy is just too much.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just, that was just crazy. I just couldn't see. I don't know how people, man, you know, how people did that. That was...
Well, and not only that, I mean, think about this. I forget what fight it was. I worked a fight, and it was at a bar. I was bouncing, like one of those one and done. And the guy, I forgot who it was, but the guy, the owner of the bar, didn't order the fight because you had to pay $100 per chair. So if you're a bar,
yeah,
you're not just, you know, you're not paying $100 or, you know, even $500 just to, you know, put it on, you know, five TVs. You're paying $100 for each seat in your bar. So, I mean, he opted not to. And, I mean, it was honestly the worst night of my life. There's about 20 people for the entire night. You know, I did like 6 to 8 hours bouncing, and literally, no joke, 20 people. And a lot of people came in and go, "Where's the fight?" And I'm like, "He didn't do it tonight." And they leave.
Yeah. All right, well, the music means that Dan and I are taking off. Dan is headed out for his weekend, but I'll be back Sunday morning at 10 a.m. with Mr. Fantasy. So meet us here for 2 big hours of Sports Time Radio. You know what else to do, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Find the link there on sportstimeradio.com. Follow it over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. Of course, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. As always, thanks for listening to us live. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.